2 weeks, if you so please.
Hello, hello, KDVS listeners. You're tuned to KDVS Davis 90.3 FM. Shout out to the Aggie Chat folks who came right before me. Y'all are real. Right now, we have America China Talk, our monthly broadcast of such. And I just gotta say, right before we start, the following views presented in this hour do not reflect the views of KDVS, KDVS sponsors, or the University of California. Please enjoy this month's edition of America China Talk. Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome to America China Talk, or ACT. America China Talk is a platform established at UC Davis to promote dialogues between these two cultures. I'm your host, Michelle Yeh. I am a professor in the Department of East Asian Languages and Cultures. So it's always a great pleasure to be here to talk to our guests. And this morning, our guest is Siona Sherman. And it's a great pleasure to welcome you, Siona.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Great. I mean, I haven't known Siona for a while. She has been coming to our ACT events on campus, but also I got to know her as a member of the Prytanean Women's Honor Society. I hope I'm maybe messing up the pronunciation a little bit. Okay, but it's a National Women's Honor Society with a long history. So I wonder if you could maybe start out by telling us about this society for women and how did you become a member?
Yes, of course. I actually became a member really recently, just this past fall quarter, fall 2023, is when I was initiated. Prytanean Women's Honor Society, there's two chapters only. in America. There's one in UC Berkeley, which was the first one, and then UC Davis. I think it was founded, I believe, in 1952, and basically one of UC Davis's honor societies that is a group of women who care about scholastics, who care about academic excellence, and also community service, just becoming future leaders in the community. I believe their pillars are scholarship, leadership, and service. So those are our main values that we do. There is a process, because it all depends on having academic excellence, there is a GPA requirement. I believe for sophomores, it's a GPA of 3.4 and higher, and then for juniors, it's a bit lower. So basically, to join the society, you can fill out an application, and then you have an interview process, which is very, very calm and very nice. And then you get to be initiated, and it's very fun. I'd say the society focuses a lot on service events that you can do on campus, off campus. We have our requirements that we do, but also in addition to that, we have social events, and it's just a lot of fun. I think the main appeal to it is the networking and kind of the emphasis on having those professional connections. For example, the Dinner for 10 networking event, which I invited you to, it's a great way for students in the society to invite faculty members that they want to get to know better, or people within their research study that they really want to maintain a connection and really just sit down and talk to them. So that's the biggest event, I think, that we have to do. And then there's also a benefits ball, which raises funds for Empower YOLO. So it's just great how all of our events are connected to Brittany Women's values. Mm-hmm. I've really been liking it.
Yes. Yeah. You mentioned the GPA requirements for sophomores and juniors. So only women in these grades can apply. So no freshmen and no seniors, I suppose.
I think you can join as in any year, but I just think that based on their record, that's like what the GPA mm-hmm. requirements are. I'm not sure what they are for freshmen, but I think juniors sure. and above is the lower GPA. Sophomores is a little higher, but yeah. I know some people who joined as freshmen. And then, I think you can receive an email. They're working on more recruitment mm-hmm. this year to hopefully get more people in, because they do recruitment during the fall. They have a fall campaign, and they also have a spring one. So that's actually upcoming right now, and the application will be due in May. So that's kind of fun.
So our listeners, if they are interested, where can they find more information? Yeah, do you have a website?
We do. We have a UC Davis website. You can probably just look up UC Davis Brittany and Women's Honor Society. Brittany and is Brittanean. It's a Greek word.
Brittany.
Very strange, but it's very fun. So that website has the link to the application form, has all the information of the GPA requirements and what we do. Also, you can follow our Instagram. I think it's UCD_Prittanean. Shows mm-hmm. like all the events we do. We also get to do a winter retreat. So very social based. I think it's a lot about community building, in addition to, you know, really caring about, you know, your academics, and also caring about serving the community and networking. So mm-hmm.
Yes. So how many members are there?
Right now, last quarter, there was around 90 members.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So now it's quarterly. So this quarter, I'm not sure how many are going to be active members, but you can mm-hmm. also apply to be an associate member or a half status member, because we have meetings biweekly. And so mm-hmm. as a full member, you have to attend all of those meetings. And if you're initiated, your first quarter being initiated, you have to be a full member.
Yes.
So that's the meeting requirement, but it's so fun. You just get to hang out with your friends and people.
I see. So that's very interesting. So the number 90, it's not a fixed number, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So it can be more, it can be less than that. Okay. Okay. So our listeners, if you're interested, do look it up online and or contact me or Siona through me. So either way, that would be fine. So in terms of community service, do you get to choose what type of community service you do as a member?
You do, actually. They're very flexible on it. Mm-hmm. We have a service vice president who handles all the service events, basically reaches out to different organizations on campus or off campus and says, hey, can we, as Brittany and member organization outside of Brittany, and you can put those hours into Brittany? Mm-hmm. Or just, you can also choose any volunteer opportunity you see and have those add to your required hours, so it's very flexible, and they have a wide range of events to just, I mean, on campus, I think there's like helping with pancake dinners I saw one time, mm-hmm. or just arboretum plant sales, and upcoming a service event, which doesn't feel like a service one, is, but it's mm-hmm. Themed as a parade for picnic day, actually. So I will be in the parade tomorrow.
Yes. Great. So I'm going to move on to another topic. I understand you come from a bicultural background. So I wonder if you'd like to just talk about what cultural differences you have observed between the U.S. and Taiwan in this case.
Yeah, this is a really interesting question to me. My mom is Taiwanese and my dad is Caucasian. He's from Utah. And I think I had never thought about cultural differences until I started taking Mandarin Chinese classes in school, which was around in high school. I think mm-hmm. one of the main cultural differences I've seen through just learning Mandarin and growing up in America is, how do I say it, social etiquette. And what I mean by that is, even like from starting and taking Chinese classes, there have been textbook like chapters dedicated to, okay, the mannerisms at the dinner table, or what gifts to bring to when you go to a party, whether a friend's party, should you bring fruit, should you bring tea leaves. And it's so intricate and nuanced. I think in Chinese culture there's a lot more etiquette rules in how I perceived it, in just your daily life, or just even like at a dinner table. Oh, make sure your elders are seated first. Oh, who eats first? Mm-hmm. All these different rules that for me as an American, I didn't grow up with. And so in navigating like my language learning journey, it's been really interesting seeing how much I don't know in terms mm-hmm. of Chinese culture and these unspoken rules. So whenever I go to Chinese cultural events, I worry sometimes how I'm perceived, because since I'm new both to learning Mandarin and also mm-hmm. learning Chinese etiquette, I'm worried that I'm going to be perceived as kind of disrespectful maybe if I do something wrong. Like sometimes, for example, I'm in conversation with maybe like someone at an event who's like a Chinese elder, and eventually we're having a good conversation, and then like suddenly they kind of look a little disappointed. And I wonder, did I do something wrong? Maybe there was some etiquette rule that I didn't read because I don't know. And I feel kind of bad about that because it's something I'm still learning. And mm-hmm. I think it might be coming from, they assume that since I know Mandarin, or I'm learning Mandarin, then I must also know Chinese like cultural etiquette, but I'm learning both of them. So
yes,
I noticed that. And yeah, mm-hmm. that's one big one. I think mm-hmm. another cultural difference, a lot of my experience comes from, I mean, my parents coming from a biracial family. So I think it's the role of family and the role of parents feels very different in how I perceived it, I guess. In Chinese culture, for me, it feels like there's a lot more emphasis on family togetherness, or like an obligation to your family. Like you, as a child, you grow up, you get a job, and then you pay back to your family members. You make sure they're supported and you take care of them. I feel like American culture, it's very nuanced, but when I grew up, I never thought about that very much. I never thought, oh, like this is an obligation, like you should definitely do this. There's not really a rule in the culture to do so, mostly because there's so much happening in American culture, yes. but yeah, there's not much. And yeah. I realized in both my parents' cases, like how my mom treats her responsibility as a mother. She says, of course, it's, you know, like I have to. It's like she always says, you guys, like, you know, it should be like, I'm always going to support you. And it's a very different outlook on your role as a parent, I've realized. And I imagine it must be because of her background and how she grew up and how she views the role of a parent. So mm-hmm. I think those are very personal experiences, not very huge.
That's very interesting. Do you feel that the parent-child relationship in Chinese culture is more hierarchical, in the sense that you sort of the child should be, you know, more respectful to the parent, whereas in America we tend to think of parents and children as sort of equals. They can be even friends, not exactly friends, but still, right? The idea of an equal footing. But I think in Chinese culture, maybe a lot of Chinese parents don't accept that. I'm not quite sure. I mean, what bugs me a little bit still is that as a Chinese parent, I mean, I try to be on an equal footing with my son, for instance. But I still don't understand how some American children can address their parents by their first name. It's like, that is not acceptable.
Right. Yeah. There's those things that you have to draw a hard line at. It's kind of, they're very different. Oh, yeah. I wonder how your experience is. Did you feel
like, I mean, my son always calls me mom.
Yeah.
I mean,
also call me mom.
I know, which is perfect, right? But I mean, I would be really annoyed, I guess, if he started calling me Michelle. It's like, what? I mean, with teacher student, it's different. I don't mind being called Michelle by my students. But with my own son, I don't think so. So anyway, but I've seen some American families where children just call their dad or mom by his or first name, and that's okay, right? It
right,
doesn't
yeah.
bother them. But when you mentioned social etiquette, this is part of social etiquette too, right?
Mm-hmm. That's
true. I mean, familial relations, yes. Any other difference that you find interesting?
Yeah, I think the main one is, I guess, the emphasis on tradition. I mean, China has such a long history, so much more than America. And I think it's just within all of the arts, you can see that, like, shine. And just that emphasis on, there's so much history, all that tradition. Like, right now I'm learning Chinese calligraphy, and there's so much, like, with the different scripts.
Yes.
There's so much to say. And I feel like culture and tradition and history and language is all so, like, combined and coagulated in just Chinese culture in general. Whereas in American culture, there's very little that you can call traditional, mostly because it's such a young country. So I feel like in that cultural sense, I feel like, in my opinion, I feel like I grew up pretty American.
Yes.
So because I didn't feel tied to, like, my cultural roots, like, with my mom. So, and when I said I was American, I said, well, what represents that? Not much, in my opinion. I don't know, celebrating 4th of July, but when I'm starting to learn Chinese culture and learning Mandarin, it's so cool. Like, I'm really interested in Hanfu, like the dresses and the times. I know that's really new. I feel like that's really big with, like, a really, like, the young generation of Chinese people right now. Like, they're really interested in having that kind of reformation of, like, all those traditions. So I feel like that's a huge cultural difference. It's just that connection to lineage, whereas I feel like in America, obviously, there's those pillars, those values of individualism that I think kind of shine through a national identity, at least how I see it. I'm not sure if you've seen that too.
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting. In my classes, I have to cover Confucianism. I always emphasize Confucianism is a conservatism. Therefore, the enormous impact of Confucianism on China, even to today, that explains why, in general, Chinese culture, even today, tends to be conservative. That is, tends to look back to the past. As you said, they always talk about tradition or traditional values. And for them, these are very real. They go back to 2,000 years or even, you know, farther back. So that is why it's very important, because that is the whole orientation of Confucianism, which is the backbone of Chinese civilization. So even today in China, whether it's mainland China or Taiwan or Hong Kong, you still feel that there's a lot of influence by Confucian values. People, of course, have become much more modern in their outlook on life. Still, you know, that traditional influence is there. So I'm not surprised. And especially when you talk about talking to a Chinese person, especially someone who's much older, right? Sometimes you just feel you have to be very careful, right? Yeah, I mean, it's very easy to make a faux pas, I guess, when you know, deal with someone, you know, from China, from an older generation, and something you say or something you forget to say, right? So the whole mannerism is different. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I'm terrified. But what made me, what comforted me was my mom said, you know what, I can never satisfy them too. So it's okay.
Yes, yes. I think it's okay. I mean, you're learning the language and the culture. And I think people in China or Taiwan have a better understanding of American culture too. Say that they sort of appreciate that you're coming from a different background, and you know, we may act differently, talk differently, and so on. And this really brings me to the next question, which is, you are going to China this summer as an intern at Jiangnan University. And Jiangnan University, for our listeners, is in the city of Wuxi, which is about 2 hours drive from Shanghai. And it's part of this southern area that is south of the Yangtze River. This is really generally considered the most affluent, the most cultured region in China. So I wonder if looking ahead to this summer, what are your expectations? What would you like to accomplish while you're there in China?
Wow, that's a really interesting question. At first, there's just a lot of excitement and also a lot of unknown. Like, I've never been to China before. So there's a lot in me that says I don't really know what to expect, but there's a lot of hopes is how I'm framing it in my head. I'm really, as I said earlier, I'm really interested in Chinese culture, especially traditional. I mean, like, especially like the dresses, like the hanfu or like the fancy, like just like any of like the wardrobe or appearances or the styles that are very common in C-dramas right now. I know that there's a lot of photo shoot opportunities there. So I honestly, like, a small wish that's away from the academic. And just like embracing the culture would be, I would love to meet like some like classmates or students at Jiangnan and like maybe hopefully like, ooh, go shopping with them or
I have a photo shoot with that. Yes, just being there, right? I mean, in Wuxi, there are garden, Chinese-style gardens, and there's a beautiful lake. And so you will enjoy all that. Other sort of, I guess, hopes, not expectations, but what would you hope to do there besides hang out with local students, maybe going shopping with the girls? Anything else?
I'm really hoping to very much improve my Chinese. I really hope. I think that will definitely happen. I'm really hoping that I will learn a lot more about just kind of how to speak colloquially, like day to day. That's what I'm really struggling with currently. And I'm hoping to find, maybe learn about the horticulture program and the students at the university. I'm really excited to just hear about their research. I'm involved with a little research here at UC Davis, but I'd love to see if, you know, they'd find a use for me in their research and actually get to do research in a Chinese university. And hopefully maybe like, also I'd be really interested in any English opportunities as well, like teaching English or discussing literature. I'm just really interested in what the university has opened for me or what they want me to do. So, I know that's up in the air right now, but I'm really excited to see.
Yes. So your major is horticulture. Why did you decide to major in that?
Very interesting question. Very good question, because it's a long-winded thing. In high school, I really cared about environmental science, and I really did a lot of climate activism in high school that I still want to continue doing. And for me, I'm a very artsy and humanities-based person, but for a career, I feel like I would be driven to like go to work every day if it's towards a social cause that I feel like is very prevalent and very urgent, and that is climate crisis. And so through environmental horticulture and urban forestry, a very long-winded name, very specific name, I really want to kind of become like an expert in a very specific field, which is horticulture, which is plant cultivation, just learning about climate-ready plants, how to develop a landscape that is ready, especially in California, that is prepared for wildfires, prepared for drought tolerance. There's a lot of professors here at the university who have research especially on that. So I really would just love to learn that, because I feel like I'm actively helping the community, helping my local community, I feel like I would be doing something, you know, a cause, like working towards a cause. So that's why I chose it. And even though I'm not a huge, I've never been a huge science person, I'm starting to find a love for it and appreciation, especially through plants. I really like all of my horticulture classes that I've taken so far. So yeah, I'm hoping to learn more. I'm very new to it, is what I will say.
Yes. And in China this summer, definitely, you should talk to the people in horticulture there, but also Suzhou is not far away from Wuxi, and that is the most famous city for traditional Chinese gardens. And so you should visit those gardens, and maybe they will inspire you in some way in terms of what you can do in China, combining what you've learned here. I'm just curious, maybe this is too early for you to think about, but in terms of your future career, is there any thought of combining your interest in horticulture and your study of Chinese culture?
I've definitely thought of that a lot, because I want to continue learning Mandarin. And I love Chinese culture. So I always thought, oh, maybe if there is an opportunity to possibly work in horticulture, whether that be in Taiwan or China, I would definitely take it. Well, while also learning Mandarin, that feels very ideal to me. Especially, I would be, if I do somehow get inspired in this this very upcoming trip to China, I would be really interested in learning about the Chinese flora, because all I know is basically very narrow branch of plants, California native plants. So to learn about all these different types of flowers and plants, I feel like that would really inspire me. Maybe see the more aesthetic careers I could go into, where like gardening or more landscaping. That would be really cool. I've always entertained, this is a sign, I've always entertained the idea of becoming an actor in Taiwan, because my mom always said that they really like mixed people to be actors.
Yes.
So I thought, oh, my chances are higher there, but I would like to. I've entertained it just because I feel like I have dedicated a lot of my time in learning Mandarin. And I would just love to, you know, actually feel immersed, have that experience of immersion. So if there were an opportunity in horticulture or in climate activism or in restoration, some sort of sustainable project, I'm very open to any of it. I would definitely take.
Yeah, I think this type of activism is widespread in Taiwan, and I think it's also growing in China. So I think this is a really good time for you to visit these places. You have been to Taiwan several times, right?
When I was very young, last time. But,
not in recent years.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. You mentioned finding a job as an actress in Taiwan. Actually, years ago, I had a student who went to Taiwan. She was studying Chinese, and she went there, and she found a job as a model.
So oh my God!
Interesting. She actually got to meet some famous singers and songwriters.
Oh wow! Oh, that's a dream come true.
I know. So I mean, she was an excellent student, and but for her, it wasn't her career goal. She was just there for fun, but then she happened to have this opportunity to be a model, and she loved it. I think she appeared in some TV commercials or things like that. So it's a lot of fun. So I hope you will, you know, find such, you know, interesting opportunities for yourself. It's like an adventure, right? When you go to China or Taiwan. So if you have one suggestion for our listeners in terms of what they should know about Chinese culture, what would you say? You want to tell them something that will stay with them. What would you say?
Oh, that feels like a lot of pressure.
Okay, I know. It's okay. Don't worry. Just
yes. Culture and language are so intertwined. So if you want to learn about a culture, specifically Chinese culture, I'd say start with the language, and you'll find so much beauty there that you'll just become entranced by it all. Mm-hmm. That's what happened to me.
Yes. And how many years have you been studying Chinese?
it's the sixth year. I started in high school freshman year and just kept going.
Oh, wow, that's a long time. So, you're fluent in Chinese. I've seen your writing in Chinese. It's great.
Thank you. That's
So,
really high praise.
I'm so glad you came to the show, Siona. I want to thank our guest, Siona Sherman, again. I hope you find what she has said interesting or even inspiring. And if you have any questions for her, you can always contact me and I will convey your messages. And so I hope you will come back maybe after your internship in China. I think you will have a lot of stories to tell. So
I would love to come.
thank you, Siona, for coming. And I also want to thank our listeners for tuning in. And I hope you have a great weekend. And please do tune in next month. Bye.
Hello, everyone. You just finished a nice little Aggie News broadcast, Agricola. And you're now listening to Cup of Joe with DJ Joe Mama. And it's going to be a metal set today. And we're going to kind of go through a variety of genres of different kinds of metal that I don't like to label, but I like to listen to. And that's all my qualifications for me putting it on my show. And when I get right into the music, I have a friend on the show, but he'll introduce himself in another block because we're figuring out in the studio right now. Thanks for tuning in. By the way, this is KDVS Davis, 90.3 FM. I'm